Today is July 6th, 2026. This is your geopolitics briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover Russia's compounding fiscal and energy crisis, Ukraine's drone industrial base that's inverted the war's casualty math, Beijing's fading leverage over Pyongyang as North Korea drifts deeper into Moscow's orbit, and a cluster of internal stress signals inside the Kremlin itself. Start with a number that should stop any Kremlin budget planner cold. 5.908 trillion rubles. That's what Russia spent on its military in the first quarter of 2026, according to analysis from Yanis Kluge at Germany's Institute for International and Security Affairs. That's roughly $80 billion, a 30% jump over the same quarter last year, and it now eats 46% of the entire federal budget. Annualized, Russia is on pace to spend 9 to 10% of GDP on the war, nearly double the 6.2% target Moscow itself budgeted. And this is happening despite Vladimir Putin's own pledge, made back in June of 2025, to actually reduce defense spending this year. Finance Minister Anton Siluanov has since warned that pledge will be missed by at least 2 trillion rubles, $28 billion, with a worst-case shortfall of 4 trillion rubles, or $56 billion, without structural changes. The strategic calculus here is straightforward. When a government's own budget commitments can't be trusted by its own technocrats, war prosecution is fully subordinated fiscal discipline. The energy side of this story is just as striking. Rosstat data shows Russian gasoline prices up more than 11% this year against general inflation running around 4%. Ukrainian strikes have knocked out an estimated 25% of Russia's total refining capacity. The Moscow refinery alone has been offline for 6 months. And it normally supplies 40% of regional gasoline and 50% of diesel. So Russia, a top three global oil producer, is now importing gasoline from India and Kazakhstan, with at least 60,000 tons already shipped and Moscow targeting up to 400,000 tons a month. Colonel Mark Kimmett of CSIS has drawn a direct line here to the World War II Strategic Bombing Survey, which found that sustained, concentrated attacks on fuel production create compounding operational effects. Ukraine appears to be running that exact playbook. The fallout is spilling across borders, too. Kyrgyzstan, over 90% dependent on Russian gasoline, has already gone to Kazakhstan, Belarus, Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan, and Turkmenistan asking for emergency supply guarantees. And Putin himself has floated banning diesel exports, which would send a shock through global diesel markets already strained by Middle East disruptions. Domestically, Russia's monthly military outlay now exceeds its entire annual higher education budget. For historical context, the Soviet Union's terminal phase defense spending hit 15 to 17% of GDP before systemic collapse. Russia's current 9 to 10% isn't there yet, but the trajectory is the same direction. While Russia's fiscal base erodes, Ukraine has been building something that's fundamentally rewritten the arithmetic of this war. Ukraine's unmanned systems industrial base has scaled from almost nothing in 2022 to more than 7 million FPV drones annually, according to Deputy Defense Minister Serhiy Boyev, nearly four times 2024's output, with President Zelensky signaling a path toward 10 million units by year's end and potentially 20 million with more funding. More importantly, this isn't just volume, it's doctrine. Defense Minister Mikhailo Fedorov announced that Ukrainian drone units have struck over 800,000 verified targets since the start of the year, killing or wounding an estimated 167,000 Russian personnel, a monthly average approaching 27,833. General Oleksandr Sursky reported roughly 180,000 targets struck in May alone, a 12.7% jump over April. Independent estimates from Poland's OSW Institute now put 70 to 90% of Russian casualties and 75 to 85% of destroyed frontline equipment on unmanned systems. The strategic calculus here is that Fedorov has explicitly formalized this into a targeting doctrine. He's aiming for a monthly Russian casualty threshold of 50,000, which he calculates would actually halt Russian offensive capacity, up from a current rate of 35,000 to 40,000. That's a data-driven attrition strategy running through Ukraine's Brave One platform, now used by 95% of drone units. Building on that, Colonel Kimmett notes cumulative Russian casualties now exceed 1 million. A number that structurally boxes in any Kremlin pivot toward negotiation, since conceding after losses of that scale carries enormous domestic legitimacy costs. Ukraine has also fielded a new guided bomb called Leveler, first used in combat on June 24th, costing about one-third of a U.S. JDAM with no usage restrictions, reducing Kyiv's dependence on American weapons conditionality. The clearest historical parallel is the 2020 Nagorno-Karabakh War, where Azerbaijan's drone-dominant approach collapsed a conventional defense in 44 days. Ukraine has essentially extended that demonstration into a sustained, multi-year industrial campaign and built the manufacturing base domestically rather than importing it. Now shift to the diplomatic map, because the shifting geography of power here is really about what China is losing rather than what Russia is gaining. Xi Jinping made his first North Korea visit since 2019 this past June, and he did it amid a structural transformation of Beijing's historic patron relationship with Pyongyang. Researchers at the Open Source Center, working with Reuters, documented around 64 Russian-flagged vessel voyages hauling roughly 15,800 containers from North Korea's Rajin port to Russia's Far East between August 2023 and spring 2025. Assessed by the Royal United Services Institute as representing somewhere between 4.2 and 5.8 million artillery rounds. By early this year, cumulative transfers had grown to an estimated 33,000 containers and roughly 15 million rounds. South Korea's Institute for National Security Strategy estimates Moscow may have paid North Korea up to $14.4 billion for troops and arms, mostly in sensitive military technology rather than cash. More importantly, a joint investigation by iStories and OCCRP found Russia supplied about 1.5 million barrels of petroleum to North Korea in 2024, roughly triple the UN sanctions cap, breaking China's historical energy monopoly over Pyongyang for the first time. The strategic calculus here is that Beijing's leverage rested on two pillars: exclusive energy supply and denuclearization diplomacy as a bargaining chip with Washington. Both are now degraded. Notably, no discussion of denuclearization surfaced in the public record of the Xi Kim summit, and Brookings has observed Beijing has quietly stopped pressing the issue, calculating it can't afford to alienate Kim right now. Finally, look inside the Kremlin itself, where the maximalist war narrative sits atop some genuinely alarming stress indicators. A CSIS study cited by Professor Scott Lucas puts total Russian killed or wounded at approximately 1.4 million since 2022, including roughly 450,000 killed in action, four times total U.S. combat deaths across every war since World War II, against a casualty exchange ratio now trending toward 8 to 1 or worse against Russia. Separately, reporting from Dr. Jason Smart describes Kremlin asset seizures exceeding $58 billion, up 350% year-on-year, including the Domodedovo Airport sale to Putin associate Arkady Rotenberg at roughly 50% below its prior valuation. And Putin's personal yacht has reportedly been fitted with anti-drone netting and a naval escort, an unprecedented security posture for the inner circle. Colonel Kimmett identifies two preconditions for a real shift in Putin's calculus: meaningful discontent among Russia's middle and upper middle classes, and battlefield effects that produce measurable equipment shortages tied to reduced oil revenue. Both appear to be developing in parallel, though neither has crossed an actionable threshold yet. Andronikov of the Freedom of Russia Legion points to Russia's 2025 budget deficit exceeding 6 trillion rubles by the end of May, already surpassing the original full-year plan for 2026, and a pension-to-salary ratio that's fallen from about 35% at the start of the invasion to around 25% now, which matters enormously given pensioners are Putin's core electoral base. His most distinctive claim is that any organized internal challenge is more likely to come from mid-rank officers than from generals or oligarchs, who are too embedded in the corruption apparatus to move against it. The clearest precedent remains the June 2023 Wagner mutiny, which showed that Russia's security vertical is substantially a facade, one that failed to mobilize against 5,000 armed men. One regional signal worth watching over the next 48 hours: whether Kyrgyzstan's emergency fuel request to its Central Asian neighbors produces an actual supply commitment, or whether it stalls, because a stall would be the first visible sign that Russia's energy patronage network across the post-Soviet space is starting to buckle under its own refining crisis. Stay vigilant. Until tomorrow. That's your Core Brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.